Good afternoon. I'm Kathleen McCoy, and you're listening to Hometown Alaska. Today, we're going to be talking about ski jumping and the Alaska Ski Jumping Club. I was so curious about this because for as long as I've been going over to Hilltop to ski on the trails over there, I'd see these big structures off to the right, and I would wonder, what are they? And do people actually jump off of those, and how do they do it? So we're going to learn all about that today. I've got two guests in the studio with me today. Welcome Mike Jokala, one of the coaches for the Alaska Ski Club Jump. Ski Jump Club, and Karen Compton, a parent organizer who's really worked hard to revitalize this club recently. I'm hoping that you all have questions for them. Maybe you have a secret desire that you want to go off some of these jumps. It's not just for kids, which is kind of interesting. It's for adults as well. And also, we hope to hear later in the hour from a young ski jumper, Charlie Heime. We hope to hear from him. He's going to get excused from his classroom and go to the school office and give us a call and talk a little bit about what it was like for him to start. We hope also to hear from Alan Alborn, who is a longtime ski jumper from Anchorage, Alaska, who is now coaching the women's ski team, the first time we've ever had a women's ski jump team going to the Olympics. And also we hope to hear from the NSAA, the Nordic Ski Association of Anchorage, longtime supporters who are standing here with, this is one of their programs now. So if you've got calls about how to start, when to start, is it good for your kids, give us a call. Call Hometown Alaska at 550-8433 in Anchorage, or call 1-888-353-5752 if you're outside of Anchorage. Or if you're really shy, you can just send us an email to hometown@alaskapublic.org. Our program will repeat this evening after the State of the State address, so it's a little bit later than usual, but we will repeat a recording of this program. I want to urge you to go to the alaskapublic.org website because we have the Ski Jump Club's page from the Nordic Ski Club Association. I'm sorry, there's so many organizations here. But you can find out about this group by going to alaskapublic.org, and there's a link to their site. There's also a link to an Anchorage Daily News story about Carl Ide, who is one of the really strong founders of this program. So if you've heard that name but you don't know who he is, you can get a little bio there. So let's jump in and start talking. I wanted to go to Mike, who is a coach and also began jumping as a very young person and even was working with Carl Ide back in the day. So Mike, tell me a little bit about how you got started in ski jumping.
Basically, I started pretty young. It's something I always wanted to do. I used to build jumps wherever I could, but then when I was 16, I met Carl Ide's son, Mark, who as a freshman in high school, and he mentioned that his father was going to start ski jump coaching at the old APU jump that is now.
Now, that's not there anymore, right?
No, that got torn down.
There's a big hill there. Maybe there's buildings up there now instead of a ski jump, maybe? Is it above the ball field? Is that where it was?
Actually, it's above the
soccer field?
The dog park.
The dog park.
Yeah, dog park. And it used to be next to the dean's house.
Wow. So I thought I don't think I ever saw it, but that hill really looks like a great place. So you are now have a lifetime of ski jumping under your belt. I mean, not only starting as a teenager, but you're now a coach.
Yes. I jumped all through my 20s, 30s, 40s, and now I'm in my early 50s, and I'm still jumping occasionally.
So this is a sport you can take into your golden years, I guess. I want to answer calls from our listeners, so I'm going to go to the phones. Hello, Parker?
Hello. Yeah, this is Parker.
Welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be on your show for a moment there.
Well, good. Well, how can we help you?
Well, I was visiting with one of my neighbors, Mr. Alborn, and he shared a little vignette that Alan may or may not recall, but he said that one day one of the coaches happened to remark to Alan's mother that Alan was one of the most promising jumpers that they had on the team. And her response was, oh, no, he doesn't ski jump. He's just up there at Hilltop taking lessons or wherever it was. And the coach says, oh, no, he's a good jumper.
So his family didn't even know.
No, and I don't remember how old Grandpa Alburn said Alan was at the time, but I think it was shockingly young to his mom.
Wow, that's great. Well, we hope to hear from him. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Jump in.
Yes, that was. I remember Alan. He came started coming over the jumps when he was about 10 years old, and it took quite a while before we realized that he didn't tell his parents he was sneaking over.
This is not something that we advise, right? So anyway, he was hooked. He got hooked, just like you got hooked. I mean, it sounds like something like, I don't know, it just looks like a lot of fun. It looks exciting. You just got to try it.
Yes. Yeah, Alan loved it. I was jumping at the time and quite a bit, and he'd follow us up the big 64-meter at,
H-12. You were at Hilltop Ski Area, where the Carlisle facility is now. That's where Alan was following you up at age 12, you said?
Yes.
All the way up to the 64-meter? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And he finally started beating me when he was 13.
That's a humbling experience. That's great. That's great. Well, thank you, Parker. And if we get Alan on the phone here later, we're going to tell him you told on him. And I'd like to welcome Diane. Hi, Diane. Welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
We were hoping you would call. Yeah, we were hoping you would call because I really was anxious for people to know that the Nordic Ski Association of Anchorage has been there behind the ski jumping sport for quite a while.
Yeah, the organization was formed in 1964, and in the original documents of the organization, there was a jumping committee. So there, I'm not exactly sure where the jumps were. They weren't in their current location, but I believe there is a jump downtown and one at APU. But yeah, jumping has been part of the Nordic Ski Association since the very beginning.
And I guess interest has ebbed and flowed, but it sounds as if there's kind of a resurgence going on right now.
Yeah, it's like any sport or any organization. It just takes a few really committed people to make things happen, like Karen and Vivian and Mike, and that have been, you know, Mike's been involved for a long, long time, and Vivian and Karen are new jumping families, and they just, their kids have the bug, and so they jumped in with both feet, and it's great. They're just jumping up a lot of enthusiasm, which creates a lot of enthusiasm, and it's a great sport, even if for people that look at it and think there's no way in the world I want to do that. They love watching it. You know, it's just such a visual sport, and it's just it's so Alaskan.
Now, this is the first year that you've had sort of junior Nordic kids who are taking cross-country skiing or skating. And
well, we started, I think, a year or two ago. There was a small group of Coach Dan and Mike started with what we call Nordic Combined, which is jumping and junior Nordic. And so that sort of started off in this kind of small stage of trying to incorporate it with our junior Nordic program, which has been going on for quite some time and very successful, of getting those kids that want to jump and wanted to do Nordic skiing and figure out a way to incorporate it. But this year, it's just much more organized, and we've got it set up so when you sign up for junior Nordic that kids could select that option of to add on jumping as well.
So that's great.
It filled up right away. It was just, no question that there is a demand for it.
Well, that's great. It's sort of great to come from this snowy climate where we've got so much Nordic going on. I mean, my daughter went through junior Nordic. I remember those days. And now to add the ski jump aspect or bring it back in and revitalize it, it looks like we might have a strong future with athletes that are really fully rounded Nordic athletes, huh?
Yeah, and Alaska's fairly unusual in the ski jumping community around the U.S. anyway, that we have such fantastic trails right next to the jumps. You know, mm-hmm. There are some wonderful jumps out there. A lot of them are nowhere near the good Nordic trails, and so mm-hmm. You know, we have the sort of best of both worlds. And right now, it's sort of the perfect storm of women's jumping. I'm not sure if you've talked about this already, but the women's jumping is going to be part of the Olympic the World Olympics.
I know. Is it 2014?
Next go around. And so, and the U.S. has a really fantastic group of women that are jumping at the international level. And, of course, our own Keegan Randall, who started off in junior Nordic here, now, you know, best U.S. skier I think we've ever had on the world circuit, is having great success. So all of those things combined is just, you know, the U.S. is in the spotlight, and especially for women, and we have young girls that are jumping, so there's no sexism here. We have both boys and girls jumping and having success at it. So.
Just before you go, I know you're busy, and we thank you for taking the time to call in and talk to us. Could you just describe what Nordic Combined really is and how a competition might work, if you can, in just a few sentences?
Well, Mike might actually.
He's the best guy for that. Okay. All right.
Of jumping and skiing, and as far as the rules of, you know, how far you jump incorporates with how fast you ski, but Mike probably can answer
just the way that,
you know,
works,
exactly how it works. But really, it's looking for athletes that are, you know, that are good at both, you know, that are good jumpers and that are good skiers. And years ago, there used to be at the college level a title called the Ski Meister, which we use in conjunction with our donors, our members that are generous. But that do ski jumping, Nordic skiing, and alpine skiing. And the student that was best at all three of them was the Ski Meister.
So I remember reading about those in the newspaper and not realizing that it included jumping.
Yeah. So.
Wow. Well, Diane, thanks a lot. And we appreciate your calling in and, you know, just letting folks know that the Nordic Ski Association, that this program is a part of your organization.
Yeah, and we have, you know, we've got a lot of really good programs and good events. And another one that I don't know if you touched on was our biathlon program, which is another.
I know there have been big competitions. Out at Kincaid.
National competition here locally, but we have a program for young skiers that are also interested in rifle marksmanship, which is biathlon is a combination of both of those.
Right, and I think women do well in that, right?
Yeah,
really well, because they're calmer.
It's a very individual thing. They talk about going from a rabbit to a rock, of being able to ski really fast and your heart rate goes up, and then to be able to stop and turn into a rock to shoot, so that you're calm, and that ability is just a phenomenal ability that people have to be able to do it, and both women and men compete, and so it's great. So we have a lot of activity going on and a lot of events and some absolutely great skiing. I'll be a little chilly at the moment, but still some great skiing this winter.
It keeps you moving. you got to get warm.
You don't want to sit around and talk to your friends too much on the trail, so you want to keep going. But
exactly.
It's absolutely beautiful out there now.
So. It is great. It's great. Well, thanks a lot for calling in. Really appreciate it.
Okay, and thanks for having me on.
Take care. All right, so let's see. Let's go back to you, Mike, a little bit and talk about the Nordic Combined. How does it, because it involves jumping. And then something about the distance that you jump, and then you start on the skiing based on how far you jumped or something like that?
Yes, Nordic Combined consists of both ski jumping and cross country. And first you ski jump, and based on your results in the ski jumping, you get handicapped in the cross country portion. So it's set up so after the cross country, whoever crosses the finish line first is the winner.
Okay.
Because it's based on a handicap and your start time.
Okay. Have you done that sport?
Yes. I was more of a jumper than a cross country
Nordic
athlete.
So I
pretty much stuck to jumping, but I was in a few Nordic combined competitions.
Yeah. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Hometown Alaska, and that was Mike Jokola. He's a coach for the Alaska Ski Jump Club, and we also have Karen Compton in the studio with us. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
She's a mom organizer, an indefatigable mom who really helped, you know, rejuvenate this program. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved. I think you started last year, right?
Yes. Well, we just heard from Diane Moxness, who's the head of the NSAA. And I have two sons. Both of them have been doing Junior Nordic for years, which is a phenomenal program. And last year when I went to register for Junior Nordic, there was a little box online that said, click here if you want to know more about ski jumping. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So I clicked the box, and in January of last year, so a year ago, I got an email that said, you're receiving this because you are interested in ski jumping. Come out to the jumps. And so I took my husband and I brought my two boys out there, and we brought their alpine gear. And they took them a little bit to go off the 15-meter.
They went off the 15-meter the first time they went
there? Yes.
Oh, let's tell them the three sizes at the Carlisle. There's a
15-meter, which a lot of people don't realize is there. It's actually built against the hillside. And then the two jumps that everyone sees, the smaller one is a 40-meter, and the bigger one is a 64-meter.
Wow.
So my boys put on their alpine gear, and the first thing the coaches have them do is ride the landing hill. So they have to be able to ski down and not snowplow, not turn, just go straight
like
down.
Like a bullet down.
Mm-hmm. And if they, you know, feel like they can do that well enough, then there are various starts that are built on the jumps from low to high. So you don't have to go down the entire jump.
Even if you're on the 15-meter, you don't have to go all the way up to the top of the 15-meter.
No, you can start, you know, they have the lowest start, which is toward the bottom of the ramp part, which we call the in-run of the jump. And they put a board across it, and you sit there until you get the guts up, basically, and go off. And it literally took my boys one time, and they couldn't get their skis off fast enough and were running up the hill again to do it. And it is, when it clicks like that, then you know these kids want to jump.
Yeah. Well, listen, let me put out the phone numbers again for people who might want to call in with questions about their kids. You know, how do you know if this is a good thing for your kid? In Anchorage, you can call 550-8433. Or outside of Anchorage, it's 1-888-353-5752. And also we can take email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So let's see. Now, you said kids are graduating to the 40-meter. What's that process like, Mike? Everybody starts on the 15?
Not everybody. There's some people with the skiing skills that could start on the 40-meter. But majority of the people do start on the 15.
Mm-hmm. It would seem like it's a graduation process, you know, sort of like you said, build up your confidence, you know, and sort of mastering the 15-meter. Now, I saw when I was out there that there's like two ridges down that steep slope, and they put their skis right in those ridges, right?
Yeah, they're tracks.
Tracks, okay, not ridges. Sorry, don't have the right language. And do they stand up and push off?
Basically, they just stand up and let their skis ride.
And then when they get down that in run, is what you call it, then they hit a flat section?
Yes. The skier goes down the ramp typically in a tuck, or what we call the in run position.
A tuck?
A tuck. Well, it's called in run position. Their hands are back behind them instead of in front of them. And typically when they get to the end of the ramp, it flattens out. And actually, this is a misconception. The takeoff is actually at a 10-degree down angle instead of an up angle. So the skiers aren't launched into the air. They have to basically jump to get any distance.
So you mean at the end of the flat area, they go down a little? Is that what you're saying? I'm sorry.
Yeah, the takeoff is down 10 degrees from level.
And they take a leap from there?
So typically what the jumper's trying to do is jump up and forward at the same time. So they don't catch a lot of air with their chest, and they get some height.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And, you know, since you've been a coach and you've probably dealt with all different kinds of kids who've come out for this, what are their typical questions, or what do they want to talk to you about when they get up on the top of the 15-meter, or even when they go higher?
Usually they don't have any questions right off the bat. They want to try it, and they're a little miffed about the whole thing. But once they jump, they start asking a lot of questions and about what do I do now, what do I work on.
So in the beginning, they don't want to talk much. They just want to experience it?
Yes.
Okay, that's pretty. What age groups do you guys have jumping in the Alaska Ski Jump Club?
We have six-year-olds. One was a five-year-old, but he just turned six. So we have a couple of six-year-olds, and we have all the way up to 15. So all ages.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say all abilities. I mean, some have a Nordic skiing background. A lot of them have alpine skiing background. And one of them is an exchange student from Mexico who'd never skied at all until this year. And so it's just amazing. You don't have to be some great skier or some hot dogger to do this. You really just have to have the right mindset and the desire to want to do it, and you can do it.
Wow. That's great. You have not jumped, Karen, right?
No. My husband jumped. Uh-huh. He jumped last year. I don't think he's had a chance to do it this year, but he thinks it's fantastic. He went off the 40 meter several times last year at age 48 is when he started. So.
A beginner at age 48. Now, you personally have no interest in doing it, but you're happy to see your boys do it.
Yes. Yeah. I think there's a misconception that it's an extremely dangerous sport, when in fact it's way safer than, I mean, every sport has a certain amount of
challenge,
risk. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's far safer than I think most people think it is. When the jumpers go off, you heard Mike say that the table, which is the very end of the jump, is not angled up. They're not being pitched off up into the air. And as they fly through the air, the landing hill is falling away underneath them. So they actually are only, you know, depending upon how good a jumper they are, they're only a few feet off the ground at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say perhaps what kids are doing in terrain parks and whatnot might actually be a little more dangerous than ski jumping.
Because they do leap up.
Launching up.
Get launched into the air, where these kids are not getting launched up. They're launched out more. And then the hill is falling away beneath them.
Yes.
Which is what you can't see at the top, right? That's why
No.
it looks scary.
That's what's scary about it, is when you're standing at the top of the jump, any jump, doesn't matter, the 15 meter, whatever, you can't see where you land.
Yeah. So that's a little unnerving. I know when I came out to watch one Saturday, it was a snowy Saturday, and there was lots of work to maintain the hill, including some big rolling equipment. So tell us a little bit about what you need to do. I mean, we're used to Nordic ski trails that have to be, you know, tracked and all that, so we know. But what goes on a hill?
Ski jumps have to be prepared smooth and hard, unlike... the reason they're hard is because you don't want your edges to dig in at all when you land. And since you're following the contour of the hill and you're landing on a steep area, the impact's very little when you land. So you don't need fluffy snow, and it's actually safer if it's hard and smooth.
Probably bend your knees, don't you, when you land? Or?
You want to absorb.
Yeah. Now, I know when I went out there and watched, I'd like Mike to explain how the skier is moving through the air. Karen, you talked about it sort of making yourself like a wing or some kind of a plane. And you tell us how that works. I mean, what's the position of their feet, of their skis, of their arms?
Well, it's kind of evolved over the years. Years ago, the theory was to create a wing with your body. So you'd have your skis together, you'd be forward, arching your back, trying to act like a wing. But over the years, they learned that instead of a wing effect, it's more of a parachute effect. And if you spread your tips apart and get your body between and your arms to your side, then you're acting more like a parachute, and you're actually gliding instead of flying. I guess that's a good way to put it.
When I looked on YouTube and I saw that their skis were sort of in a V, kind of, and maybe the tips almost at their head level, you know, but out.
Yeah, they're looking to get as much surface area to catch the air, which creates that parachute effect.
Yeah.
And I would say people are always surprised when they see we've hauled around some jumping skis to various events in town. And people love to look at them because they're enormous. I mean, they're way taller than you are if they're the right size for you.
Yeah.
And they're very fat. And
wide.
They're mm-hmm. very wide. There's no side cut or anything. They're just huge planks.
Planks.
And people are always very interested to pick them up. They're usually pretty light, and that's all part of the making yourself, you know, hang in the air more. And also the suits they wear, the jumpsuits, are really the opposite of what alpine skiers wear or Nordic skiers wear. You know, they're wearing Lycra skin tight, you know, aerodynamic stuff. Mm-hmm. And these suits are thick foam almost. And when the kids take them off and hang them up, it still looks like someone's in them because they're so thick.
What are they, fiber? What are they made out of? Are they
like some kind of foam?
Foam with a fabric covering.
Yeah. Well, now you mentioned gear, and that brings up the thought of expense. So let's talk about how do people outfit themselves with the Alaska Ski Jump Club?
Yeah. So we've been very lucky that the club had some gear. They have gear for adults, and they had some gear for kids. The issue that we learned about is that you can't just go anywhere in the United States and get ski jumping gear. You have to order it from Europe. And so we wrote a grant to the Alaska Ski Education Foundation, and we got it last year, a matching grant. We were able to purchase more kids' ski jumping gear. It's also pretty expensive. I mean, the boots, the skis, the bindings. I mean, the bindings cost as much as the skis do.
Wow.
And then it all has to be shipped from Europe, and you have to pay, you know, go through customs, import taxes. It's pretty arduous. If you know, if the average person wants to go ski jump, that would be a barrier to entry. And in order to encourage participation in the sport, we thought, well, the biggest thing we need to do is get enough gear so that there's enough gear for kids. I think Diane mentioned that registration was open on the Junior Nordic website, and then it closed almost immediately because it filled up. And it filled up because we ran out of gear.
So you provide the gear,
yes.
And you can only take as many kids as skis you've got and boots you've got and all that, okay? And
yes.
Suits. Uh-huh.
Yes. You don't have to jump in a ski jumping suit, but once you start to get, you know, you're going off the 40 meter and you're really catching some air and you're starting to fly, then the coaches do recommend that the kids wear the suits. They're also a lot warmer on mm-hmm. these cold days.
Yeah.
Than just wearing a, you know, jacket and ski pants.
Now, could people come out in their alpine gear and try it out like your boys did, or is that not really what happens?
People can. You know, there are insurance issues, so we have to make sure that they get insurance through USSA. And on February 25th, we have Jump Fest.
Oh.
and part of that will be a You Try It Day. And so there is a provision where you can get the insurance in order to try it out for a reduced price. And that's another thing we're hoping that we can get people to interested in the sport by coming out that day at the jumps.
So let's give them the day again. That's really, I believe we've got it on alaskapublic.org also, but what's the name of the event again, and do you know the time yet?
Sure. It's Saturday, February 25th, and in the morning there'll be a kids, it's called Jump Fest, and in the morning there'll be a kids ski jumping competition. And so if people want to come out and watch the kids competing, they can do that. And then in midday, we will open it up to You Try It.
Anybody with this on their bucket list, this might be your chance.
But they can only, you know, try the 15 meter. I don't think the coaches feel like anyone ought to be trying it on the 40 meter. And
and they may feel that way when they get on the top of the 40 meter anyway.
15 might be plenty.
Yeah.
And then in the afternoon, we'll be having adult jumpers competing. And so it'll be a whole day of jumping.
Wow. So that'd be a great day. If you really don't know what this is about, or you want your kids to get a chance to see it, to see if they're interested, that's a great day to come out. And it's almost all day.
Yes.
Kids in the morning, adults in the afternoon, and You Try It is around noon, did you say?
Yeah. In between, yes.
In between. Wow, that's really cool. That sounds really fun. If you're just joining us, we have Mike Jokola, a ski jump coach and a longtime ski jumper himself, and Karen Compton, who's a mom with two boys who are jumping locally now. And we'll be back shortly. We'll probably hear from Alan Alborn, who's a ski jumper who started here in Anchorage and is now coaching the women's U.S. ski jump team, the first time the U.S. has had one. And we hope to hear from a young jumper himself, a 10-year-old who's going to get to the school office and dial our number and tell us what it's like to be a ski jumper. So hopefully that will happen in the second half. This is Kathleen McCoy. You're listening to Hometown Alaska.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on KSKA Anchorage. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Hometown Alaska on our website, alaskapublic.org. This is KSKA FM 91.1.
Welcome back. You're listening to Hometown Alaska, and we are talking about ski jumping today. In the studio with me, I have a coach, ski jump coach Mike Jokola, a Service High graduate, studied with Carl Ide when he was teaching ski jumping here. And we also have Karen Compton, who is a mom who's worked hard to help organize or rejuvenate the Alaska Ski Jump Club, and she has two sons who are jumping. Just to remind you, this program will repeat this evening, but it'll be after the State of the State address, so closer to 8 o'clock. But if you missed us during the day, you can listen to us again in the evening. Things like this, you know, they say it takes a village to have anything start. And I was intrigued when I met Karen to hear, you know, how she and her friend Vivian really got behind this and made a lot of things happen. And I'd like you to tell that story, because a lot of people want to start things and sometimes they don't know where to begin. So how did you get the ball rolling here?
Well, when my boys started jumping a year ago, there were really only about three other boys jumping at the time. So my kids were numbers 4 and 5, and they loved it. They were hooked immediately. But then I looked around and I thought, well, what a bummer, you know, that there aren't more kids jumping. It's only fun if there are a whole bunch of kids. And so I started talking to my friends, and sure enough, you know, their kids would come out, they'd try it out, and then those kids were hooked, and we went from 3 kids to about a dozen kids last year. And one of my friends, Vivian Murray, her kids loved it, and she said to me finally in May, when the jumping season was over, she said, all right, let's really do this. Let's really do this. And so we got Mike on board, and one of the things identified was that the facility was in need of some help. And so Mike put a wish list together of the things that he felt needed to be done, and we started fundraising and trying to get the masses together to help. And yeah, it's just been, the community has been fantastic.
Well, I want to welcome Alan Alborn. We were hoping he would call us, and he's on the line. Hi, Alan.
How are you guys doing today?
Great. Thanks for taking time out. You're down in Park City, Utah?
That's correct.
At the Olympic Village or Olympic Ole Park, or what's it called?
Utah Olympic Park, right off of Interstate I-80 that runs down into Salt Lake City.
Wow. Well, thanks for taking the time to call. I really was interested in including you in the program because you started here as a jumper. And in fact, we even had an early caller who told a tale on you about how you were jumping before your folks actually realized you were jumping.
Yeah, that's correct. I I really did a lot of alpine skiing with my two brothers and sister. We lived over off O'Malley Road in Anchorage there, and parents would take us up to Hilltop every night, typically after school, and I got a little tired of alpine, so we started sneaking over to the ski jump. And at that time, Mike Jokola, Doug Taylor, Carl Lyad were all there, and I said, hey, come try this at, you know, jumping, put a helmet on, and go up. And I did it. I was hooked. And
what did you go off the first time, the 15 or?
Yeah, the smallest hill there, the little 15-meter jump, and it was a blast. So then typically every day after that, for quite a while, I would say goodbye to my parents, do a couple runs on the Alpine Hill, and sneak over to the jumps, and get back over to the Alpine Hill before my parents showed up. I loved it, and I still love it, and I'm glad that there's so many people in Anchorage now excited about it and getting the program going again.
Yeah. You know, I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what it was like working with Carl Lyad, because he was really your coach, and we lost him here a couple of years ago, but that facility is a real tribute to him and his devotion. So what was it like to have him as your coach?
Well, Carl was a very passionate person with everything that he did. So having him as a coach was tremendous for me, because right off the bat, he inspired me to try to be a perfectionist on the ski jump, and obviously have fun and make sure that, you know, the main focus. But he was always instilling in me that the littlest things make a big difference combined. Simple technique things, just your composure on the hill. So right from the get-go, he taught me a lot of really important lessons that carried throughout my whole career. So I'm really grateful for him and what he's done for Alaska and for me in creating those ski jumps there. He was a great inspiration. I miss him a lot. I used to, on my visits home to Alaska, I'd make it a point to stop by and see him and catch up with him, and I certainly miss doing that.
Yeah. Could you tell us a little bit about your Olympic career and how it went for you? You went from Anchorage, and what happened?
Well, fortunately for me, in those years, my father was an airline pilot for Mark Air Airlines, and they asked him to move to Denver, Colorado. I want to say it was 1994, and family all moved to Denver, Colorado, right north of the airport there. And essentially, it opened up the door for me to get involved with the ski jumping and Nordic combined program in Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And essentially, their program at that time and still today is one of the best ski jumping and Nordic combined programs around, because of the facilities they have, all the way from a junior skier getting on the skis all the way up to Olympic level athletes. And the hills appropriate for those athletes. So for the first little while there, my parents drove me up to Steamboat, a 3.5-hour drive one way on the weekends after school, and got more and more into jumping there. And eventually it led to me being asked to join the U.S. ski team, and then on to the Olympics in Japan in 1998, and then here in Salt Lake City in 2002, and then last, not least, Torino in 2006. So,
congratulations! And you hold a record, I think, for distance. Or there's, I read about it.
I hold the North American distance record for ski jumping, and I set that record in the spring of 2002 after the games here in Salt Lake City. Country called Slovenia, little country, the old Yugoslavia. And the biggest ski jump in the world is still there. And essentially, the jump you see in Anchorage there, the 50-meter hill, you can jump, you know, 55, 60 meters on that hill. The ski flying hill today, you can jump 240 meters on it.
Ooh.
So wow. It's, you know, five times the size of the one in Anchorage there, easily. And my distance record was 221 meters, and at that time, It was just a couple meters off the world record. So really thrilling experience for me, and looking back on it, you know, it was a terrific time. And I always like to think that because of the Carlisle ski jumps and everybody up there, I would not have been able to do that without them. So
I wonder, have you ever, have you ever known fear on top of a ski jump?
Yes. I think anybody that doesn't have a little bit of fear in them, obviously there's something not quite right mentally with that person and in their athletics, because in every death-defying, if you will, or extreme sport, you have to have a little bit of fear in you just to keep you safe.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, as a coach, and I've seen a lot of athletes that don't have that fear, they end up getting hurt. So it's a really important attribute for any high-level athlete, even a junior athlete, to have, but understand how to control it. That's the main thing, I believe, that leads to different levels of success. So it definitely has been there for me, and I guess I could say I've been fortunate enough to find a way to tune it in to the kind of jumps I'm on or the size of jumps.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to let people know what you're doing right now, which is pretty exciting. It's brand new for the United States to have the team that you're coaching. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I certainly can. The women in the U.S. have been trying to get into the Olympic Games, the Winter Olympic Games, for several years now. One of the ladies I have the privilege of coaching right now, I used to ski jump with years ago. Her name is Lindsay Van. From Park City, Utah. She was really one of the first pioneers of the sport, and essentially just this spring, they were voted into the Olympic Games in 2042 Russia for the first ever individual event. So
we'll be watching them. We'll be watching them in the Olympics.
Yeah, we will. 2014, they'll have a one individual event on the Normal Hill. And the same time this spring, I was asked if I would be interested in coaching the team, and I accepted the job, and now I'm head coach of the women's U.S. jumping team, as well as still am the head coach for the Park City Nordic Ski Club here in Park City, so I'm fortunate enough to be based out of home here and oversee the ladies that are not only winning the Nations Cup, which means they're the best team in the world, but one of the athletes is leading the overall World Cup by a significant margin. 5 out of 14 World Cups they have this winter so far, and so things are going quite well, and Sochi is looking really good for the ladies.
Well, that's great, and to think it all began with Carl Ide back here in Anchorage sneaking up there and jumping off.
Yep.
40 meter. Listen, do you have any advice for kids? I actually have another caller on the line that we want to go to soon. He's the other end of the spectrum. He's 10 and he's a new jumper, and we want to put him on the air. But before you go, Alan, what advice do you have for kids who are thinking about this, or parents who are wondering whether it's the right thing for their kids?
Advice for the kids would be stick with your passion. If you really love the sport, it'll take you a long ways. Always make sure that it's fun, no matter what you do. And for parents, ski jumping is a very unique sport to build a lot of character in young kids, especially because of the extreme nature of it. Really teaches the kids lifelong lessons that will help them, obviously, further along. And it's a great sport. We need to grow it because not a lot of people know about it. And it is a thrilling experience, athlete or parent, to participate in or watch.
All right. Well, Alan, that is great. It was great to have you for a few minutes, and we'll be watching your team on TV. And we actually have a link on the alaskapublic.org to the women's ski team site. So if people want to learn a little bit more about that, they can go there. So congratulations on your job, and good luck. And thanks so much for taking the time to call us today.
No problem. Thank you for sending some snow to Park City finally.
Okay. Enjoy. Alrighty, bye-bye. Charlie.
Yes?
Hello. Welcome to Hometown Alaska. This is Charlie Jaime, and I know you are a ski jumper, and I wanted to hear from a young person who's new to the sport about why they like the sport. And I'm hoping that you can tell us how you got started and why you like it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, at first it started about 2 years ago, and my mom wanted me to try a new sport, so she thought ski jumping would be a good idea. So I was kind of freaked out at first, but once I got used to it, going off the 15-meter, I got more comfortable and started to do technique on 15. Then this year, my coach encouraged me to go on the 40-meter, and I've gone off it 6 times now.
So what's the difference between the 15 and the 40 in your mind? You know, I know one is bigger than the other, but, you know, taking a jump off the 40, how is that different from taking a jump off the 15?
Well, when you go off the 15, when you're at the top, it doesn't seem as steep and long as the 40 is, because you're not used to going off that big of a jump on the 40. But, yeah, I think that if you just concentrate and just focus on what's your positive goal, then you could do it.
And you're 10 years old, right?
Yes.
And what's your elementary school that you're going to?
Inlet View Elementary.
And what grade are you in, Charlie?
5th grade.
So do you feel like you've learned something from ski jumping? I know we just had Alan Alborn, who's an Olympic coach and an Olympian himself, and he talked about that it teaches kids a lot of things, a lot of character. What do you think about that?
I think it teaches me to stay calm when I'm in, like, kind of hard situations to, focus on. But it does definitely, build my confidence in other sports.
Mm-hmm. So you're also doing Nordic skiing?
Yes.
Do you do downhill also?
Yep.
So you're just pretty much an all-around winter. Maybe you'll be a future Olympian for us, huh?
I guess.
Well, do you have any advice for other kids who are thinking about doing this?
Well, this is my advice, that you don't have to do it, but I think it's a pretty cool sport, and it's something new.
Something new. All right. All right, Charlie. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to call us. Anything else you want to tell us before you go?
That this is one of the coolest sports in the world.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Charlie.
You're welcome.
You take care.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Before Alan called and everything, we were just trying to touch on how you progressed this group. And before I forget, I wanted to throw out the phone number one more time in case anybody has questions for Karen or for Mike. It's 550-8433 in Anchorage, or 1-888-353-5752 outside of Anchorage. Or you can send us an email to hometown@alaskapublic.org. So let's jump back in, because I want to fill in the community backing that you drew upon to sort of get things going again.
Sure. And so myself and another mother, Vivian Murray, decided that we would, in about May of last year, decided we would really put all of our efforts behind this. And she approached the Anchorage Downtown Rotary and convinced them to adopt the ski jumps as a project, a community service project for them.
So that means she's a member of that Rotary?
She is a member of that
and
Rotary.
She stood up and gave an advocacy talk there.
She did. She's very persuasive. and so they adopted the ski jumps. And what that means is they helped us raise money to refurbish the 40-meter jump, which we did this summer. And Mike was in charge of that and instrumental in getting that project
done. We'll talk about that in a minute, just what it meant to refurbish that jump. Yeah.
Yes. And then it also meant that members of Anchorage Downtown Rotary came. They put sweat equity into it. They helped work on the jump. It was a lot of hard physical labor that happened. There were also lots of in-kind donations from members of the Rotary. The Carpenter's Apprenticeship Program helped out.
What did they do?
Well, they were pretty much
the workforce.
Nailing. There's a lot of nailing that went on.
Yeah.
It's like building a giant deck is what it is.
Okay.
And friends, families, ski jumpers, Rotarians, carpenters. It was a real community effort. And the one thing that I think has been most gratifying is that the community is really behind the ski jumping program. You know, it's a $1 million facility up there. No one wants to see it go to waste. And we're so lucky in Anchorage to have this sort of a facility right here. There are so few ski jumps in the world. And here there is one literally right in our city.
Right.
And to let it just fall apart and to have no kids using it is such a terrible waste. And so we're really focusing on doing more projects up there. We're continuing to raise money. We want to completely revitalize the place and at the same time build the program so that more and more and more kids and adults can discover ski jumping and participate in it.
Right. Now, Mike is not the only coach right now. I know I saw on your website there's three, but I think there might even be a fourth
coach. Yeah, we have a fourth coach, too.
We should give a shout-out to is it Dan Beaverton?
Bevington, yeah.
Who you told me was driving up from Kenai all last year trying to coach.
Yep, and this year we raised enough money so we can fly him in on the weekends to coach. Mike is here. He's our head coach. Trevor Taylor is another coach. He's the son of Doug Taylor and is a very accomplished ski jumper in his own right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Jake Todd, who is a teacher at Service High, who ski jumped as a kid. Mm-hmm. And he's back coaching mm-hmm. as well. So for 30 kids, we have 30 kids in the program right now, to have four coaches. Mm-hmm. That is an amazing ratio.
That's
and we
amazing.
Are so lucky.
Yeah.
And these guys put in so many hours up there. In no other sport that I know of are the coaches responsible for maintaining the facility, grooming, right? In addition to coaching.
Yeah.
And so just the preparation in order to jump is a big deal.
Yeah.
And being a ski jumping coach is a huge time commitment. And
yeah.
So we're so lucky to have yeah. four who are totally committed to the program.
Right now, what happens is kids can do junior Nordic two nights a week, and then the other two nights they can do ski jumping, or they can just do ski jumping, right?
They ski jump one weeknight and then one weekend afternoon for
okay.
4 hours.
All right. Mm-hmm. And I know the Saturday that I was up there, you were just finishing shoveling all those steps.
There's a lot of shoveling that happens.
So the parents are in pretty good shape after a while.
Yeah. Yes, this has been, what a great winter for snow. But every time it snows, Mike was mentioning that the surfaces for our type of skiing, for ski jumping, have to be hard. And so every time it snows, the jumps have to be cleared off, and then the landing hills have to be packed down. So that it's safe for the jumpers to go off. And that involves a fair amount of work.
Yeah, I saw maybe some dragging on the in-run and then this big rolling thing that's like a giant lawnmower or something going up and down, and that's packing down the snow.
Yeah, the hill's too steep for a cat, so we have a roller that's attached to a rope and pulley system that we pull up and down the hill with the monorail, which is a cog track
right.
Lift on the side.
Right. So a lot of physical work, a lot of involvement. I know when I was out there that Saturday, you were talking about the dream of maybe having a little lift that might, because the kids take off their skis, tromp back up the hill to do another run. So maybe to speed up that process or to give them a little bit of a break. What's the thought about that, the dream of that, I guess?
Yeah, there used to be a rope tow. And it was old, and I'm not sure how safe it was. And anyway, we tore it down this summer, and there were insurance issues. And so one idea is to partner with Hilltop and try to put in a lift on the other side of these trees that are in between the jumps and the Hilltop ski area. And, you know, that would be a fair amount of fundraising would have to happen in order to make that a reality. The kids would still have to climb up the jumps themselves, but to help them out, give them a little break, get a ride up at least the landing hill portion of it,
Would that just take them to the top of the 15, and then they'd have to climb up to the top of the
40? Yeah, perhaps a little bit higher than the top of the 15, but they would still have to, you know, ski across and then walk up the steps of the jumps.
Yeah.
But, you know, people think, oh, well, you're just skiing down, and that's not a very good workout. Well, it's a tremendous workout. Those kids work. The cardiovascular aspect of ski jumping is phenomenal because they have to carry their skis up and do it over and over and over again.
Yeah, one of those life lessons, right?
It is. You know, in my
persistence.
Kids, when they first started, I brought a thermos of hot chocolate. I thought they'd be so cold, and they were asking for Gatorade. They were sweating.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Mike, you've been doing it since you were 16. You still go to Steamboat Springs and jump a little bit?
Yeah, I haven't been there for 2 years, but I really enjoy going to Steamboat and jumping the 90 meter there.
Mm-hmm. And like I asked Alan, have you known fear at the top of a ski jump?
Yes. just about every time I'm at the top of the jump, there is a little bit of fear as you look down the jump.
One of the things Karen said to me that Saturday when I was out there is that some kids will go up to the top of the 40 and they'll sit there with the coach. And the coaches have a saying, something like, there's nothing wrong with taking a look. There's no shame in taking a look or something like that. So that, I mean, that's just the whole environment they're in. It's not a daring them to do it. It's when they're ready.
Yes, we're not going to push a kid off the jump. I mean, they have to be ready for it and mentally.
As a parent, I've been so kind of surprised to realize that it's a low pressure environment. I mean, the kids put pressure on themselves, obviously. But you would think there'd be a lot of machismo, right? With four male coaches, and you'd think they'd say, well, dude, just do it.
Yeah.
You know, just go. And there's none of that. I mean, they respect the fact that the fear factor is pretty high. Mm-hmm. And so they do a very good job of taking the pressure off the kids and saying, you know, only when you're ready. And I appreciate that as a parent. You know, there's not the, you're going to sit there and do it. And
Yeah.
And when the kids overcome the fear, it is like Charlie, the little ski jumper, said, what a great life lesson to be so scared about something and then get your mind around it and do it anyway.
That's awesome.
If you do that one time in your life, It's truly, I think it's life-altering.
Yeah, that's great. And I want to remind folks that can go to Alaska Public and see a little video that you gave us of the kids at the jump. So if you haven't seen the jumps being used, you can go on Alaska Public and see Karen's little video with kids jumping off. And our program will air again tonight at 8 o'clock, so right after the State of the State. I don't know, Mike, have you got any little parting words for anybody here?
Come out and try it.
All right. So we've had a great hour learning about Anchorage's rejuvenated ski jumping program located at the Hilltop Ski Area. I'd like to thank our call-in guests who took time out of their busy day to share their perspective on the sport. They were the 10-year-old ski jumper, Charlie Jaime, the Nordic Ski Association of Anchorage's Executive Director, Diane Moxness, and ski jump Olympian and now coach to the first U.S. Women's Olympic ski jump team, Alan Alborn. And in our studio, a big thank you to Alaska Ski Jump Club parent organizer Karen Compton and to Alaska Ski Jump coach and longtime ski jumper Mike Jokola. On next week's Hometown Alaska, host Peter Dunlap-Scholl will take us through reminders and best practices of winter safety. Please connect with us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Alaska Public. Our website is alaskapublic.org. Pat Yak is Vice President of Public Media. Kristen Spack is our web editor and audio engineer. Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400. This is KSKA Anchorage.